Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being here with us today. We are going to have a great program for you as usual. Thank you. Bridge MCP, hola, ¿cómo estás? Maywood, hello from Long Beach. And Bridge, of course, says, hey, y'all, Maywood morning news for you, eh? LOL, because he's in California and we are on the East Coast in Washington, D.C. Howdy from El Señor. Bruce Pollard, thank you so kindly for your support at KPFT. I checked in yesterday and found that you're supporting our KPFT fund drive. We can always count on Bruce Pollard for helping out to ensure that progressive media, not only politics done right, but he's supporting progressive media across the country. That is what we need. Folks, thank you so kindly for all that support that we need to make sure that the message gets out there. Anyhow, folks, before I even get started, something really got on my nerves today. I found out that the person that is opposing the additions to Medicare, is Joe Manchin. He doesn't want older folk, people on Medicare, to get ears, eyes, and dental. And, you know, people would say, well, why wouldn't he want to do that? There are a lot of people on Medicare in his state that would go fine with, and the cost for that is not going to be more exorbitant than many other things. But you know what it is? There is a concerted effort by many, while they won't say it overtly, to promote the privatization and continued privatization of all of healthcare. You know, they created Medicare so that we the people would subsidize the health industrial complex, the insurers. How do I mean that? Because what Medicare did is it took all the old people away, so that when the insurance companies are doing their tables, what is it called? Not amortization tables. When they're doing their risk tables, right? What happens is if they have to have older people in there, they will have to write them out. But if government makes it illegal for you to discriminate against age, you would have to take losses, because older people get more sick in the aggregate than others. So they took out old people by creating Medicare. But that wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough for the capitalists. It wasn't good enough for the thieves. It wasn't good enough for the thugs that run our economic system. And I need you to understand this, because many times they skin a cat in a different way. They don't tell you we want to privatize healthcare. They don't tell you that. They just do the things that will create the pathway for the privatization of the social, the privatization part. So here's the deal. Medicare Advantage costs about 20% more than Medicare. That's a subsidy to private sector. How? By them having a restriction in who you can see, what medicines you can take. You know, Medicare Advantage is nothing more than nothing more than an HMO. It's a poor HMO at that. But when they're selling Medicare Advantage to you, they tell you Medicare does not give you dental, Medicare does not give you eye, Medicare vision, Medicare does not give you ears, right? It doesn't give you that. You got to pay for that. But it also tells you, and remember, Medicare is an 80-20 kind of a plan at the lower end, right? So you're going to have to pay 80-20. While we can create a Medicare Advantage plan that gives you nose, ears, everything, we also give you, you don't have to pay anything. All the Medicare money goes to you. So we already get 20% more for you. We also have tables that allows us to bill the government more than it really costs us to service you. And so it's another way for the private sector to pilfer our taxes, right? But then they go ahead and they say, oh, the social programs cost too much. The entitlements cost too much. We need to cut Medicare. What they forget to tell you is it costs a lot, because that money is going right back to the private sector. If you're on YouTube, folks, please give me that thumbs up so we can get these things going, so we can get these algorithms going. If you are on YouTube, please go ahead and give us a like to help the algorithm. So people, I want you to understand these things. I haven't started the show yet. I just wanted to bring this up because I wanted to make sure to give it to you in an unadulterated fashion. But please understand this and please share this. Medicare Advantage is a fraud on the American people. Medicare Advantage may seem like carrots for fairly healthy older people, but ultimately it hurts them. And by the time they realize it hurts them and they realize they have to wait for the next sign up period before they can switch back to Medicare. And when they switch back to Medicare, they find out that the companies are no longer obligated to give them, you know that second part of Medicare that you have to have, that rider for the 20%? What is it called? Medicare Gap? Medigap? Well, if you go originally to get Medicare, the Medigap companies, which is a private company, has to give you Medigap. So you have to get the Medigap insurance. But if you go from Medicare Advantage back to Medicare, and they check you out, they say, you're too sick for us to give you Medigap. So you're not going to get. We don't legally have to give you Medigap. Folks, it's a fraud by the privatized system. Let's please, 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 please force Manchin to give eyes, ears, and teeth. Vision, dental, and ears. It's important because what they're doing is trying to continue to give force to Medicare Advantage, and Medicare Advantage is a fraud. Please tell your friends, if you are on Medicare Advantage already and you're still fairly healthy, switch the first time you get, you may still be able to get Medigap at an affordable price. But please, tell everybody you know that's about to get into Medicare. Pay the extra little bit for Medicare and do not, absolutely do not get Medicare Advantage. Okay, we have a program for you today. What is the program going to be about? I needed to start out with that, folks. I just needed to start out with that. Anyhow, here we go. Title of the show today is, para ver que vamos a hacer, is Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick eats crow. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Texas Lieutenant Governor Patrick's bet did not pay off. Senator Angus King no longer likes the filibuster. Neil Aquino talks about Build Back Better. Liz Cheney again. Anyhow, let's go ahead and get started with, I think I'm going to get started with Lee Aquino because it's about what we're going to do here for to promote and enlighten folks on what Build Back Better is all about. So let's go ahead and talk to Brother Aquino. Aquino is a very active activist here in Houston that we are all proud of. He works with several other activists to make sure we're all informed. So here we go. I need to get it all set up. And there we go. Ahorita mismo. Welcome to Politics Done Right. As you guys know, I'm in Washington, D.C., but we're still keeping Houston, Texas, and the South covered. So today we are honored to have Neil Aquino here with us. Neil, I understand that you are in a project with one of our other Houston activists, Daniel. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing? It's important.
Great. Thank you for having me. So thank you for having me on. On Monday the 25th at 9 a.m. Central, 10 Eastern, for our global viewers, we're going to have a number of progressive champions in Houston and Harris County discuss the Build Back Better program and the need for a comprehensive physical and human infrastructure bill. And on this news conference are going to be HISD trustee Sung and Sung, teacher and education advocate Michelle Palmer, who ran such a great race for the Texas Board of Education, Houston Councilwoman Letitia Plummer, who's been the chief progressive champion on Houston Council, Justice of the Peace Israel Garcia, who's been leading the way in opposing some evictions, SEIU Texas President Elsa Caballero, Houston community advocate Sandra Rodriguez, who ran a great city council campaign a couple of years ago, and state representatives Ann Johnson and John Rosenthal. So we want to have the backs of people who've had our backs and build our own networks of action and support. And we want to attack the inequalities exacerbated by the pandemic and that have been around for years before the pandemic.
So, Neil, is this a Zoom panel that you're having open to the public?
It's going to be open to the public, and the event's going to be able to be watched on the Facebook Precinct 272 page in Houston. And these things are always a little, sometimes they're a little tough to get around your head, at least if you're me, at least. But it's going to be on the Precinct 272 page in Houston. Many of your Houston viewers, among your global viewers, will have friends who have that. And then, thanks to your kindness, it's going to be posted on your page when done.
Absolutely so. So anyhow, it's important that in all venues we cover this Build Back Better issues that we're talking about, because I think one of the major problems that we have right now is most people they hear Build Back Better, they hear reconciliation, they hear all these things. The one thing they don't hear enough of is why we need these bills and what these bills are actually going to do for the individual, correct?
Correct. There are so many, it's hard to imagine that on top of the long-standing challenges, the bridges we haven't built, the childcare we haven't provided, the eye care and dental care that for our seniors and people that hasn't been provided. And now we've heard these stories about the wealth that was transferred to the richest during the pandemic. And so on top of years since the Great Society, or whenever we did the most least recent substantial infrastructure building, and now exacerbated by the last 20 months and ongoing. And so these bills are really important, and, you know, we want to encourage our great local congressional delegations in Houston and elsewhere to support these important initiatives.
You know, ironically, Neil, you just kind of call Great Society, et cetera. What is very interesting is when we talk about real physical infrastructure, I don't think there has been anything comprehensive since the interstate system. I don't think there has been anything comprehensive since Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security expansion. We can talk about the Affordable Care Act, but the scope of doing something from a truly, truly social, governmental input into our lives hadn't been since the late 60s at all. Because again, even the Affordable Care Act is a private sector kind of a thing.
Right.
So it is interesting that finally, Joe Biden, with this Build Back Better set of programs, I should say, will mitigate much of what's happening.
And not only that, you know, because there's been such a concern, a new concern about racial and financial equity. And so, you know, the freeways, the interstates, but hopefully this isn't going to displace the neighborhood. They're still building freeways. They want to build additional freeways in Houston and Austin, and I'm sure where your viewers are across the nation. And so the great thing about this is that it's progressive, and it seems to be geared towards the entire demographic of the nation. Across all 50 states and every demographic, and not meant to push out some folks as well.
Interesting. Again, that what is important about what you're saying as well, Neil, is these bills are written in an intentional manner to ensure that it's broad base and covers actually everybody, and that there aren't that somehow some won't fall through the cracks.
Right. That's exactly right. These are uniquely broad-based. And one of the great things here living in Houston, and you referenced the South, is that we have a number, and these folks weren't here 3, 4, 5 years ago. Well, they were here, but they weren't in positions of office holding. We have a number of progressive champions. Number of the people I've mentioned were not in office 2, 3, 4 years ago. And I've mentioned people whom are office holders, whom are activists, a union president. And so it's great because there's such a wide range of things happening positive in the South rather than the caricatures.
You know what's interesting, Neil, though? And it's and I think it's important to point something else out. We put them there. You, with your activism, put them there. I saw several people that you are going to be talking to tomorrow, and it put a smile on my face because it was flesh and blood that we can touch, that we know we actively participated in ensuring they got into the positions that they have today.
It really is. This is the reflection of a lot of work, a lot of unpaid work, a lot of volunteer work, and I encourage everyone to support your local activist and rank and file volunteer. And I respect the word activist, but often I use the word just rank and file volunteer. You know, that person just buying their own stamp or block walking, buying their own sunscreen, using their own mileage to get to the turf, and the whole rigmarole. And these names that I've mentioned for our Monday press conference are manifestations of our own work.
Well, look, let me tell you, in closing, Neil, I want to thank you for what you're doing. I think it is important for what you and Daniel Cohen have put together to ensure that people get a better understanding of Build Back Better and other policies. And I hope that you are a catalyst to people all over the country, from a precinct by precinct, district by district, city by city, state by state. Do what's necessary to inform their constituents, inform your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, your friends, all that is happening, and not allow the mainstream media, the right wingers, the neoliberals to try to change the reality of what we're trying to build here, and have people continue to support things that are not necessarily in their interest. Give me a closer, my friend.
Great. Well, it's very, very kind, and we'll all do this together. We'll all do this together, and your support at the local and national level, and so it's a Build Back Better. We'll be on at 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern on the 25th Monday, on the Precinct 272 homepage, and on Facebook if you're in the Houston area, and then you're kind enough to post it. And I think even if you're in a different neck of the woods, different part of town, the progress we're seeing here, even as we have these perils of going on and these challenges to democracy, it's important to take heart from what we've accomplished and to stay the course.
Thank you so kindly, Neil Aquino, ultra Houston activist, the one that makes sure that Senator Cornyn is bird-dogged everywhere, that Senator Cornyn is struck everywhere. This is a man keeping.
You see him behind me. You see him behind me right there with Senator Cruz.
There it is.
There they are.
Kindly, Neil.
Okay, thank you so much, Egberto.
Okay, I hope you guys. You know, one of the reasons that I actually played this, not only on, I didn't just do this for a KPFT piece, but also national, is because we need to be doing what Daniel Cohen is doing in his precinct, along with Neil Aquino, is to don't leave explaining Build Back Better to just the politicians who are doing a very poor job of doing it. Bring in people who are actually able to know the community, do it in the community, and get it out there so that they can then force their representatives to do what they need to do. And that is what the great work that Neil Aquino is doing out there, the great work that the panels that they're bringing on is going to do, the great work that we have folks like Daniel Cohen and other Houston activists are doing out there. Great work by everybody. Let me go check and tell everybody hi. Norman Reynolds, you the man. Neil, he is the man. Neil is a brother of mine. He's wonderful. May Wood, welcome aboard. Let's see who else came on. Since Eric Hayes, welcome aboard. We also got CGJ, welcome aboard. Fun Sweet, welcome aboard. Did I miss anybody? Peggy Lopez. Peggy, I sent you Ashley's address. I think you were talking about a quilt or something like that. Let's see what else I got here. Para ver. I think I saluted Bruce, etc. Before I get to the next video, let's see. Bruce says, Texas Rep 8 Brady is retiring. We have a chance to replace him, but who? The truth is, I don't know. Kevin Brady is an interesting cat in a very conservative area, as I recall. I think it's Montgomery County mostly, right? They said Manchin is changing parties. He doesn't have to change parties, just change your morals. Right. Norman Reynolds said to Neil, yada man, Neil. Maywood says, but Manchin is too tied into the coal industry, a disappearing industry, folks. What else we got here? Maywood says, one thing that we cannot take out of the Build Back Better is the environmental parts. We should not. Eric Hayes wants to call Build Back Better bankrupt better. Again, remember what we talk about, enslaved minds. When you don't look at what's needed out there, what happens, that is the kind of thing. That is why we have Neil Aquino out there explaining what it really means, what it means to be have that. But it's redistricting. You're right about that. And I hadn't looked at the how they redistricted that particular side, Bruce. So maybe you can tell me more. All right, let's see. We are at 25. We still have more. Anything else that you guys want me to mention before I go to the other video? Let's see what else we got. Supreme Court and Congress peep don't age. Yeah, we need to get them out of there, though. Dr. Doom predicts if the Republicans win next year, Medicare will be privatized. I actually have no doubt. They're already near 50% with Medicare Advantage because Medicare Advantage has a good selling point. We give you visual, dental, and ears, right? Medicare doesn't do that. But how do we do that? You don't get anything for free. We charge Medicare more for the service, which means we can give you those services. And then we also restrict the doctors you can see, restrict the medicines that you can receive, etc. Remember, nothing is free. And if you have the private sector involved, profit becomes an expense. Any service, I want you to understand this, please, I beg of thee. People like to say that the private sector does things better. Let me first tell you this. The private sector absolutely does absolutely nothing better than a well-run government. Does that mean I want the government to run everything? Absolutely not. It doesn't need to be. What I'm trying to say is that the fallacy that because it's in the private sector, it is run more efficiently, is provably false. Think about it. If you're an engineer for the government and an engineer for the private sector, forget about the financial part. What incentive do you have to do any worse or better, whether you work for the private sector or the government? The truth of the matter is, whether you work for the private sector or the government, you are in a salary, okay? And you get good money. So it is a complete lie. The fact of the matter is that if you work in private sector, there is another component that has to go to the shareholders and the executive bonuses, etc. So there's an additional cost to the private sector. When they talk about it being more efficient, they mean the services and products they provide has to be less than. Now, let me give you a caveat to that, right? Let's say we have the private sector. Let's say we have the government having a product that they want to put out there, and they're contracting to the private sector to give that product. That is where inefficiency lies. Let me give an example of that. you have the military in Iraq. The military used to have its cooks and its mess halls and everything, and it was all run by the military, which means your sergeants and your corporals and whatever, they had mess duty that they did. They had those that were cooks. In fact, a good friend of mine that I grew up with in Panama, she was a great cook in the Navy. All right? So you have all these cooks that work for the Navy. They are on the Navy salary. There's no profit motive there. They're feeding the Navy and they're doing all the things they're supposed to do. But what did they do in Iraq and all over? The government no longer makes their military folks, they don't no longer have a complete unit, meaning you have your cook, you have your doctors, you have all of that as a part of the military. They contract it out. So now you have somebody that comes in and serve the meals to the military. The meal costs more than if the military did it themselves. Okay? Because remember, every time you swipe the card, it's like $15, $20, $30, depending on what you got. No matter what, they bring in cheap labor from overseas. You know, my friend told me you had Vietnamese, Indians, all these folks that are coming in that had no citizenship to go ahead to work it. And then the profit goes to the few, the shareholders of these defense contractors, the bonuses of these defense contractors. It's thievery. It's moving money from from your tax dollars to the private sector when they could have done it all along. So government buying private services is thievery as well. We have the same thing with pharmaceuticals, right? We develop the pharmaceutical drugs. We develop what you would call the proof of concept. And when it looks like it's going to make it, the university professors or whatever, they sell it. To whom again? They sell it to these people. And when they sell these products to these people, what happened? They sock it to you. We got to understand how these things work, people. We need to understand that we are nothing more than a price center to make a few rich. Okay, let's understand that. All right, let me see if I got anybody else to salute. Let's see. Nanette Bird-Smith, welcome aboard. How can they charge Medicare more? That's the point. It's written into the law. And there's a way that they do it as well. Every service that you provide has a code. And what they normally do as well is to code up the services that they provide to somebody. So they make the people look sicker than they really are so that they can collect more money on them. Because for every person, they get X amount of dollars based on their level of sickness. If you buy the book from Tom Hartman, the problem with Medicare, I had Tom Hartman on, and he has the Bible on the thievery that occurs with Medicare Advantage. I am probably going to contact him and see if we can do a 10-minute questionnaire and answer it in a video form and tell people why you must not get Medicare Advantage, why you must pay a little bit more and just get Medicare standard Medicare. You will not regret your choice. The supply chain thing, not caused by driver shortage, caused by cranes and not unloading as there has been a truck short. Look, the supply chain stuff is a private problem. Don't blame the government for that. That is a failure of the private sector. That is a private sector in many failures. One of the things are simple. It is very, very, very simple. They go ahead, the private sector, and they thin out their inventory. And by thinning out their inventory, what occurs? You get shortages when there's a supply chain drop. They wanted to save money that way. All right, let's see. Paula Faizan Johnson, welcome aboard, my dear friend. Shareholders must be included, and that makes it inefficient and costly for us. Mágica, mujer. Mágica. Eso es mágica. That is exactly the concept, Paula. You hit it on the nail. Norman Reynolds says, the supply chain is run by the private sector. Norman, you hit the nail on the head. The current stress in the sector shows the ineffectiveness of the private sector to meet people's needs. It will always meet the shareholder needs. And what was the shareholder needs? To keep very small inventories. And when you keep very small inventories, you reduce costs. But when the inventories are too small, the people pay the price for the increased costs of those ships, that the 100 ships that are off the bay in LA and Long Beach, we are paying to keep them there. The private sector passed that cost on to us. It's not the government, it's the private sector that has failed. Norman, you hit the nail on the head. Paula says, they take from the poor, us, and give to the rich. Absolutely. May Wood says, listening to the libertarians and neoliberals, are you false description of the situation? We have to try to inform, enlighten these people. Don't be hard on Eric. Eric has been informed by good liars that have passed a lot of things through his psychological prejudices. And by going through one's psychological prejudices, a lot of misinformation can be inculcated into one's mind because you're predisposed to want to hear that. So in my book, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relatives, Friends, and Neighbors, what I explain, and it won't always work with the Eric type, is you let them answer the questions. And when I've had Eric there before, I've sat down in Starbucks and spoken to Eric. And when Eric answered the questions, Eric answered the questions as if he were a progressive. Unfortunately, it takes doing it over and over and over again before the truth sinks in. Egberto, so we should be enslaved to the government in thinking of, you can't be enslaved by yourself. Government is we the people. So you can't be enslaved by yourself. However, you can be enslaved by the corporation. Because the corporation is we, the shareholders. It's not a difficult concept to understand. We the people, we elect these people. We cannot be enslaved by people we can unelect. But we can be enslaved by those whose sole purpose is they're not answerable to us. Remember that, folks. It's important to understand the concept. They try to hide that from you. Maywood says, Eric Hayes, let's see. We are slave to the private sector right now. Exactly, Bridge MCP. Fonsui says, the only suggestion I have to you, Eric, is to follow the money. Always. See who is winning and who is losing. See if something consolidates power or if distributes power. Then you will know who it was designed for. But you have to first open your mind to be able to listen. Tom C., public sector is not always more efficient. Look at Congress. Half of the representatives are paid good salaries plus benefits for doing absolutely nothing. When I talk about the public sector, I'm not talking about politicians. Politicians are in a class by themselves, Brother Tom C. I'm talking about the people who work, who do the work, the engineer, the person sweeping the floor, the person who works, the janitors in that, well, now they even contract those out. But you understand what I'm saying. The people that really work for the government, my brother, Roberto Lewis, who it worked for TxDOT and who is out there doing efficient work. That's what I'm talking about. Eric Hayes, the private sector was working. Why all of a sudden? The private sector, again, if you believe that lie, we have a lot more work to do with you. Fonsui says, the private sector was absolutely not working. It was exploiting by design and kept chugging along because the world was not dealing with global pandemic. This was highlighted the issues with the system. Fonsui, perfecto, you got it right. Virginia Medaglia, Victoria Medaglia. There has to be accountability regardless of whether it's public or private sector. Who oversees Congress these days? The private sector. Let's see what else we got here. Daniel Ledosa, you can be enslaved by anyone with a monopoly of violence. Whom? Just what has that? No. We the people in a democracy cannot enslave ourselves. That's an absolute statement, not debatable. Okay, folks, we are past the half hour, and you know what I haven't done yet? I haven't asked you guys to support us. If you are on YouTube, please click that join button. Please click that join button. Become a part of our PDR Posse. If you're not on YouTube, you can still become a part of our YouTube PDR Posse by going to politicsdoneright.com/YouTube. politicsdoneright.com/YouTube. You can also support us on Patreon. Going to politicsandright.com/Patreon. Ultimately, we need about either huge donors, which I don't really like. I like a whole lot of people just giving pennies, you know. So please go ahead and go to politicsandright.com/Patreon. Select the level that you are that you feel comfortable with. Select a level commensurate with the value that you think we provide to the progressive space. What do? We write several blogs a day, at least 3 to 5 videos a day, to make sure that the progressive that we seed the progressive space with messages to counteract all the false right-wing message coming from overseas, coming from our right-wing brothers and sisters who are misinformed, and coming from the evil, calculated Republican politicians led by the Republican think tanks that's intent on lying to you. We counteract that by putting a lot of messages out into the space, because the way search engines work is you have to have the material, you have to have the corroborating material, so that when somebody searches for Republican hypocrisy, you don't get bad information, you get good stuff out. So we will be pulled up many times. That's the work that we do. It's not just saying we are out here talking. We also provide blogs, videos, etc., that make sure these information get pulled up. So I ask you to be a part of our posse. Contribute to politicsandright.com/Patreon or politicsandright.com/YouTube. And of course, we all take PayPal. You can support us at politicsandright.com/PayPal. My books, if you want to be able to talk to folks and you think you don't quite know how to handle it, we have 3 books. As I see it, and that particular book, the As I See It book, was the first book I wrote on the economy, how things work, etc. As I See It, it is very, very important, because it is where you could see that class warfare, and I'm not talking about fighting, I'm talking about real class warfare, is the only resort to right-wing doom. The second book that I wrote, political book that is It's Worth It, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relatives, Friends, and Neighbors. It gives you the patience to deal with that volume of misinformation without losing your mind, and then being able to talk to quite a few and actually change minds. And the most recent book, How to Make America Utopia, gives us the beginning of a framework of what we need to really make America the type of utopia that we need. And it's a book that will grow. I still don't have our website complete with all the things that have been happening in my life to get it done, but in the long run, we'll get it done. You can get all my books at politicsandright.com/books, politicsandright.com/books. I promise you that you will get positive stuff out of there, and how to be able to address people without anybody being able to say, got you. You will have all the answers. And if you don't have all the answers, you'll know exactly how to come up with those answers. You can also get to or catch all the different forms of support that we have, politicsandright.com/support, politicsandright.com/support. And of course, if you want our hoodies and all of that with our Politics Done Right logo, etc., consider going to our store, politicsandright.com/store, politicsandright.com/store. Okay, I got a new video for you. I got to tell you that Texas Lieutenant Governor once again has made a fool of himself. And he had to pay up, and it cost him $25,000, and he had to give it to a progressive who would probably give a few donations to a few of the candidates in Pennsylvania. Check this out. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick from Texas wanted to prove his loyalty to Donald Trump, and he wanted to prove that this last election there was a whole lot of voter fraud, and so he put up $1 million of the money from the people who gave him a whole lot of money to just prove that, because he was going to find that, guess what, Trump somehow won the election and there was voter fraud by progressives, by liberals, by those who voted for Democrats. So he offered to pay $25,000 for anyone who would see voter fraud. And what did he come up with? Check this out.
Here's a story I must share. Lieutenant Governor of the state of Texas, Dan Patrick, a Republican, I don't know if you remember this, way back when, he offered to pay up big time if evidence for real voter fraud was found. That was last year. Well, guess what? He just handed out his first reward, but it didn't go as planned. He paid out $25,000 to this guy on the screen. This guy is a progressive poll worker in the state of Pennsylvania. And guess what he showed? He showed evidence of a Republican trying to vote twice. He told our own Ari Melber that voter stuck out like a sore thumb. Watch this.
I've been known not never to forget a face. I'll forget a name, but not a face. But he just had a baseball cap and black like Ray-Ban sunglasses on. I looked up and I was just like beside myself because we had just had a full conversation about how it wasn't okay for him to do this. In fact, it was illegal.
Real voter fraud found by a progressive poll worker in Pennsylvania, and the lieutenant governor of Texas had to pay him the $25,000.
But you know what? It has always been smoke and mirrors with Republicans. If they say, you are doing this bad thing, you know, it is they who are doing it. They talk about pro-life, but all your policies kill. They talk about, we believe in conservative values, but all the things that they do really are really a diametrically opposed to what conservatives would really want. They talk about, we are fiscally responsible, yet they refuse to pay for the things that they want. They are pretty much leechers and support policies that allow others to be leechers, like those people who don't want to pay taxes. And guess what? They don't want those people to pay taxes, so they don't want the IRS going after them. They don't mind the IRS going after those people who get paid in wages and are given W-2 forms to the IRS. But you try to go into the bank accounts of the wealthy to see exactly what they're making. And it's, oh no, you cannot do that because, you know, we are really just hypocrites. When we talk about, you know, they like to talk about Christian values, right? They forget what Jesus said about giving. They forget what Jesus said about actually helping other people. They forget that the Pharisees were the ones who always talk up good virtue, but always did the wrong thing. And again, this is no different. Again, it's no different, my brothers and my sisters. It's no different. It's all about talk. Now, guess what, people? Guess what I've just learned about myself? Before I tell you what I learned about myself, let me go ahead and see if I have any more things to read from my good brothers and sisters. Let's see. Let's see what Nanette Burtz, that was a conversation with somebody else. We are a slave to the private. I think I read that one. The suggestion that I have for you, Eric, is to follow the money. I read that as well. Let's scroll down. I think I need to go to Nanette Burtz-Smith has been speaking to. Okay, let's see. I see where I'm at now. All right, here's where I'm at. I just found out something. Brother Lado just gave a diagnosis on me. I want to read Daniel Lado's statement. He says as follows. It has become clear over the past few years that Egberto in serious need of a mental health professional. I pray he gets the help he so desperately needs. Well, I think delusion, the ability to be gullible, the ability to have one convince you that things work the way they don't, is actually more apropos with someone that has a mental problem. So to my brother Daniel Lado, please consider looking into the mirror and repeating that message that you just sent to me. It may be instructive. Okay, let's see. Paula Faisan Johnson says, Daniel, when people don't have a factual argument, they result to using negative insults. It's called deflection. There goes Faisan. You're right. Okay, true. Is that why Egberto always called conservatives murderers, racist, and crazy? Let's examine that. First of all, I don't call all conservatives murderers, racists, and crazy. You see, Eric is here. Eric Hayes is here. I've sat down with Eric and had coffee. In fact, I've met you, Mr. Lado, at functions out here in the Kingwood area. I don't think you are a murderer, a racist, or what was the other word again? You see, I'm getting old. A racist, or I do think you're sort of crazy, though, but I'll just tell you that straight out. Now, here's the thing. I do think, however, that you have to talk to people who have been programmed differently. You know, it is like somebody telling the undocumented workers, go back to where you came from. Or somebody telling the undocumented worker, how dare you try to come to a land that you don't belong, that you don't own? How dare you come in here without your papers? When these are the same people whose ancestors came to this land I'm talking about not these peoples that like to say this ancestors came to this land and they didn't just come for a job. You know, those people that are coming over from the border, they want a job. They want a good life. They want to live. They want they're living in countries where the plutocracies of the world have pilfered them. Check out what occurred in the banana, the Chiquita Banana and all these other companies, what they've done to the campesinos throughout Latin America. Why a lot of them are moving over here. Right? That's where they're coming. But you have the nerve to tell them, and this is great. You don't belong here. How dare you come here without your papers? How dare you come here illegally? When those settlers came here, they didn't only come here to settle and escape from wherever they were coming from. They wanted to take it all. They murdered, they pilfered. So your question was, those people who have not atoned, those conservatives who don't want to teach about the racism that occurred in our past, who don't want to teach about all the evils we've done in the past. Do I think they're crazy murderers? And no, they are supporters of that type of a policy. Those people who march in the streets that said we will not be replaced. Those people who are promoting this. Let's be truthful now. When you have those people running across the border, they're not trying to do anything. They're trying to hide from people just so they can make a living. But those who came here and pilfered and murdered and then now say, we are upstanding citizens. We are good people. We are moral. Really now? Who's crazy? Who was crazy to see all of that happen and then have the nerve, the gall to tell somebody else, oh, we are pure. We are the good ones. You know, you look at the petty thief in a 7-Eleven store. You look at the petty thief that steals some gas here and there. You look at the petty thief that does all these things. And we're like, those criminals, look at them. Look at those people. Those poor people, look at how they're stealing from us. Look at what they're doing. And then the executive that sits up with a suit and a tie and he tells his employee, find a way not to pay for their insurance bill. And in doing so, kill millions. That's murder. Premeditated murder. And you see, when I talk about antiseptic slavery, when I talk about the abstraction of harming people, that's what I'm talking about, right? If I sit in an office, but I effect the death of many with my actions, I am no less a murderer than the one who effects it. I called a lot of what we do, some knowingly, some unknowingly, the abstraction of hate, the abstraction of killing. A friend of mine said, Egberto, you're always like, you're against these type of investments by certain people, etc. And then she told me when we were reviewing the book, one of my books, one of the people said, in reviewing my book, we had one of our organizations reviewing the book, and she was going to make a point, and I understood where she's coming from because that's how she was trained. She looked at it and she said, but look, if it weren't for Portugal, who invested, or the Queen, who invested in the Niña, La Pinta, and La Santa Maria, the three ships that Christopher Columbus used to come over here, they made a profit from doing that, and they did a good thing. They opened up the new lands, and if it wasn't for all those investors in England who opened the East India Company. And while she's telling me that, in my mind, I am saying to myself, this is a good woman. And to see how our indoctrination can have her support abstracted evil is amazing. It's not her fault. And that's why I wrote the book, It's Worth It, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relatives, Friends, and Neighbors, because they are conditioned to believe that it's okay to do those things. And then somehow take the higher ground. It is not. I'm not going to play my other two videos because I went too long on my rant. But I want you guys to understand this, okay? When I do my rants about the settlers that came here, murdered and pilfered, understand this. No, I don't believe in race because it's a stupid thing when you talk about biology, etc. It's a very stupid thing. But we are governed and laws that are passed that are hue-based. In other words, you're classified as a race. That tells a lot about what you're gonna, what your pathway in America and many other Western countries. Oh, well, many other countries, period. So in saying that, what do I have to put out there? And every single person of whatever hue has the propensity to do good. But they also have, there's nothing in them that is inherently wired not to do wrong. We can all do wrong. We can all do right. It's not a racial thing, a hue thing. It is so happen that we also have animal natures within us that allows us to say to ourselves, if that's a winning number there, I am going to try to be like that winning number right now. That is, and that's where we're at. So my attention to what the settlers have done, the evil that Christopher Columbus represents and etc., it's not an indictment on white people. After all, there was an Idi Amin Dada. And something tells me he kind of looked a bit more like me. What I'm trying to tell you is you call out evil where evil is. And you don't, you know, this stuff about we don't want to teach race in high school because it's going to make white kids feel badly. No. The white kids are way past that. You go talk to some white kids and you see where they're at. In fact, I mean, in some of the millennials that I work with, they think I'm a bit too mellow. They think that I'm like, why the hell aren't you blowing the shit up? Sorry for that. That's one that's going to get past YouTube. And I'm like, no, because I understand humanity. We all have the propensity to do good or bad. And my goal is to have people doing good and to let people not fall for the stuff that says, oh, if Egberto is speaking about the settlers, he hates white people. You know, man, I got all kind of folks in my family, white people, Chinese, Indian, everything in my family. I love them all. See? Anyhow, let me read a few things real quickly here. We have Bridge MCP says, good comeback, Egberto, LOL. Terry Mercer says, Terry, love you, Terry. I mean, Tori, I always call you Terry. Story Mercer. By the way, thanks for the kudos that you left there on a message at KPFT, brother. Historically, political corruption is a reflection of human nature, not an aspect of any single party. In the USA, democracy has always been about getting away with anything you can, no matter party. Agreed, brother. Corruption is the norm, not the exception. We're going to have to discuss that at some other time about corruption being the norm. My contention is that there are a lot of corrupt people tend to go into politics. But if most people were corrupt, most people would not take the corruption. It's just like how people like to say, man, people are greedy. And that's why capitalism worked, because it works on greed. No, most people are not greedy. If most people were greedy, those damn capitalists wouldn't have the things that they have, because the greedy ones would be taking it away. You see, there are a lot of things that have been inculcated into our minds that when you calculate it, it makes no sense. Norman Reynolds says, conservatives are not. People who continue to believe the earth is flat or that trickle-down economics works or that Trump was good president are part of a cult. True. Paula Faison Johnson says, speak the truth. Thank you, Paula. Daniel Ledo comes back. This rant is exactly why Egberto needs help. He creates his own reality and then lives there. Please tell me in the rant that I gave Brother Ledo, what was incorrect? What was wrong? What was a lie? What wasn't truth in the rant that I gave? Lay it out. All right. Mercer says, or Norman says to Mercer, I get you, but both sides don't. The politicians that support the plutocracy more than their people are corrupt. Agreed. Daniel Ledo said, there's nothing quite as funny as a racist telling everybody how he doesn't see race, but he does. I never say I don't see race. I said race is a stupid thing. I don't see race as an adjective, as an again, I am black. I look in the camera, I see a black thing resolved. My buddies here are white. Bruce, hey Bruce, you're still white, right? Hey, Norman, you still black? Okay, I see colors. You bet your life I do. But do I think Bruce, my white brother, Norman, my black brother, do you think I see them as any differently as far as their humanity, as far as them being my friend? Again, understand it. And you know, that is what the right tries to insulate from you. Remember that. Remember that. Breege MCP, my girl. I think, hey, Bruce, Breege, you're still white, right? May Wood, brother, you're still black. I mean, you're still white too, right? So get, understand, if we're going to make progress in the things that we do, we got to get it right. I got to get out of here. But one last ask, brothers and sisters, please, 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 if you are on YouTube, please go ahead and do what again? Please go ahead and click that join button on YouTube. Also, please give me that thumbs up to make sure our thing gets promoted. You can support us by going to politicsunright.com/YouTube, politicsunright.com/YouTube. Likewise, you can support us by going to politicsunright.com/Patreon. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Likewise, you can support us on PayPal by going to politicsunright.com/PayPal. The reason I got to keep asking for support is, you know, the media goes ahead and they get several $1,000s per 30 seconds to promote some ad by a pharmaceutical. This is your show. I have to ask for the support from you. It's not that, you know, that's just what I have to do. Yes, race is a human construct, Sandra Hargrave. You're absolutely right. Has no scientific reality. I love you, girl. I love you, girl. I love you, girl. Or woman. Sorry, that's probably my old-time sexism. Woman. Thank you, Sandra. Likewise, you can support us by purchasing our t-shirts, all of that, at our store, politicsunright.com/store. And you can buy our books at politicsunright.com/books. Please get the books. That also makes the conversation that much more interesting. And the catch-all for support all around is politicsdoneright.com/support. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right. And you guys know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.